I always think once you have your answer, you can move forward with whatever it is. So I will try and visualize and put a lot of energy into trying to make something happen. But if the answer is no, that's okay. Language through it, wipe it off, I move forward with something else.
How are you? Welcome to the Entrepreneur Experiment podcast with me, Gary Fox. Today, my guest is Laura Bonner, the founder of the Muff Liquor Company. She counts A-list stars such as Russell Crowe, Jimmy Carr, and Ed Sheeran among her investors. This is one of the most enlightening and authentic chats I've had in 5 years of doing this podcast. This one is special. Here's my chat with Laura.
If you've been listening for a while, you know Iconic Offices have been my partner for ages now. Working and recording out of their flexible workspaces has meant a huge deal to the success of this podcast. So it made perfect sense to partner up with them again for season 17, but to give you, my fellow entrepreneurs, a unique offer. Come work in the Iconic Office workspaces for free with no catches. Simply visit the link in the description below and enter Gary24 for a free day pass or a free day office pass. Enjoy.
Are you an early stage founder solving problems in the food supply chain? The Green Man Group sees the value in your work and has launched the Growing Further Awards to back your vision. These awards are designed to promote startups that are driving sustainability and innovation in key areas of the food supply chain, including production, distribution and retail, built environment, and customer engagement. Enter at growingfurther.io for a shot at a share of the €100,000 cash prize and the chance to pitch your company to a crowd of industry leaders. Don't miss out. The deadline for entries is October 4th, with final judging and the awards set for January 2025. Learn more and apply at growingfurther.io.
Laura, welcome to the pod.
Thank you, Gary. Great to be here.
I am delighted to have you here.
Same. It's good.
You've been a busy few weeks.
Busy few months, but the last few weeks has been pretty intense, I'm not going to lie.
This is a very big photo. I'm obviously not holding it up to you because you're in it. So we have Russell Crowe, Ryan Tuberty, you, Ronan Keating. There's another guy in it. I don't know who he is. So apologies to that guy.
Tom Russell.
So that was the launch of your brand home.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
What were those guys doing there?
I'm sure they would ask the same question. I am really lucky that I've got all those guys as my shareholders. Missing Ed Sheeran and Jimmy Carr, but yeah, they're all Muff men, as they call themselves, and they said that they would be there to support me on the day, and they were, so it was great to have them.
That's wild.
It's pretty wild.
Sorry, Jimmy Carr, Ed Sheeran, Russell Crowe, Ryan Tuberty, Ronan.
Yeah.
That's wild. What a lineup.
I know.
It's like a who's who of like, and all different industries. How do you know them or how do they know each other?
Well, they're all Irish, as I like to remind them, but they're all really good friends.
They're all friends.
Yeah, really, really good friends. They're great guys. Like, I'm really, really lucky that they're all there. I don't know how long or who became who, but they are best mates. And I met with Russell in Dublin a couple of years ago. And he said to me, like, I'm going to bring in a few friends in this investment. And I was like, sure, wherever you want, where we get your money from is none of my business. I never even asked him then. And then it was literally maybe a few weeks before the deal went through that I actually found out who was involved. So I actually jumped around my sitting room like a child. Like, my feet went off there and I squealed when he told me.
No way. So hold on. You didn't know who he was going to bring in.
Yeah, just...
Just a few friends.
A few friends, and I didn't think to... to me, I was delighted just to get him. So, like, he was what my objective for that time was, to get him on board, and anything else was just a bonus, but he really delivered. So
that's insane. Like, he's the A-list of the A-list. There's a few people in the world who are like, you just say their name and you're like, Russell Crowe.
He's an iconic legend.
Iconic. That's exactly the word.
Yeah, yeah.
Like some of his movies. Gladiator, I think, is one of my all-time favourites, favourite.
I've watched it too many times.
I love it.
Same.
And the sequel's coming out.
I know. And we've got the Paul.
The Irish guy.
Yeah, Fair Jews.
Unbelievable. I saw the trailer there and I was like, number one, I didn't know he's in it. And number two, I'm like, that actually looks good. Yeah. Very rarely do you kind of go...
It's hard though, isn't it, when you have a sequel of a second, because obviously the first one is so iconic, like it's big shoes to fill. But
exactly, like Gladiator is one of the movies, right? Yeah. That's one of the all-time greats. Yeah. So to even dare make a second one.
Yeah.
But like, they've got Denzel Washington, but Paul Mescal to get that role.
Fair juice to him.
Fair use, Miss Wright. Yeah. Ireland's having a moment.
Yeah.
So you got Russell Crowe as an investor. Everyone at home is now going, ask her how, ask her how. How did you get Russell Crowe as an investor?
I manifested, and I mean like I did manifest it. I actually wrote in my whiteboard on the 17th of October 2017, and we didn't launch the business until the 3rd of February 2018. So I wrote down I was going to have Ed Sheeran as a shareholder, that I would have Russell Crowe do my first tweet going into Australia. I wrote loads of other things down. One day I will share my whiteboard, but until...
Have you got a photo of it?
No. It's just for me. I've got
Is it still there?
Oh, I keep adding to it, you see.
Oh, cool.
And some of the stuff is outrageous, but... I was telling Russell and Ed in Melbourne last year, what's on it? And they laughed. They were like, listen, whatever you write on this board seems to come true. So
I'm sorry now. If someone said to you, Russell Crowe's going to be an investor 10 years ago, you would have went, that's outrageous.
Well, I would have said, yeah, it's going to happen. So, I had it down that he was going to do it. And then from my best friend's sister's fiancé, I knew that I had it. A link, you know, everybody's like
a link. Tenuous.
Like, do you know that saying? Is it like 6 degrees of separation?
6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. So you know, in my head, I knew I had an in, but it was obviously up to me to try and get there. And listen, as I said, my objective was Russell was just to get him to do one tweet when we launched into Australia. So the outcome's been pretty good. But yeah, he was filming in Ireland and the Pope exorcism 2 years ago. So when I found out he was in Ireland, I was in Ireland. I was like, right, this is my chance now. Managed to get muff gin, vodka and whiskey down into a box in front of him. I've obviously heard now like loads of different stories from everybody's side. And then he got it at 10:30 that Saturday night, Sunday then, and then 8:05 Monday morning, I got a phone call saying, are you looking for investment?
No way.
And I was pretty much, I felt I was going to be filing for bankruptcy really, really soon. We didn't recover from COVID at all. And I said, yeah, I am, yeah.
So, funny enough, we might be.
Maybe. What are you offering?
If you offer really great terms, we might be.
But I went down.
Squeeze you in.
Yeah. So I went down and met him in Dublin that Wednesday. We went for breakfast. And normally, you know, when you do a pitch, like I always go into, I'll tell you about the story and tell you about me and my whole, like, you know, my dream and whatever. And then I do the finances because obviously they're the dire part. And he, first question was like, right, let's talk about these finances here. So I was like, my God, he's only going to let me butter him up. Like he's going in deep. And like
So he went straight in, go and tell me about your finances.
He was like, let's go through this. So obviously I'd shared between the Saturday night and the Monday morning, I had been asked to send over the investment deck and whatever. So he had had that.
There's no messing around there. So give me that timeline. Saturday night, you got it from half 10.
Business plan or investment deck went over. Must have been on the Sunday, 8:05 Monday. Phone call, meeting Wednesday. Has the terms for the following Friday.
I love that.
Me too.
That intensity.
Yeah, I love it. Like he gets things done and that's exactly like what I like.
I have three words that I like to define each year by, and this year is intensity, focus and leverage.
Lovely.
Yeah, three words every year, because I just find the people I like most are just quite intense in a good way.
Yeah.
Just get it done. We talked earlier about like, do it or don't do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Just say no, say yes, whatever. Just let's do it if we're going to do it. Yeah. That's incredible. I want to ask you a number of things there about planning and manifestation, but how do you prepare for a meeting with Russell Crowe?
Do you know what? I actually went down to Jerry Hussey. I talk about him quite a lot. Him and his wife, Miriam, they live in Dublin. So I went to their house that morning. We did a wee bit of a breathing exercise. And Jerry just kept on saying to me, listen, this is your company. This is you. You don't forget that. Don't get your head spinned when you walk in there. So I listened to, I've got a playlist of meditation music and ayahuasca. And it's all about feeling your body and your heart. So I had it blaring in the car on the way over. And when I arrived, I was the calmest person. And I mean, when I say so calm, I actually kind of threw myself off. And Lorraine O'Reilly, who sings in his band, who was one of the people who introduced me to him, she was at the table. And she said to me after, she's like, my God, you were so calm. And I said, you know what? I was like, he's just a man and this is business. So as soon as I said, I went over and he took his hand and he's like, Russell Crowe. And I said, Laura Bonner, nice to meet you. He said, take a seat.
Full titles.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, yeah.
I always like when people, you clearly know who they are, but they introduce you to themselves to you.
Sure, Ed does it all the time. Like we were doing a meet and greet there in Miami. So we had buyers in from the States and Ed went around, hi, I'm Ed. And the last buyer went, sorry, what's your name? But you know, for the fact that he was introducing his name to everybody, even though we were all there to do a meet and greet with him.
Such a mark of the person.
Oh, it's so nice.
For sure, because I've been lucky enough to meet like some decent people over the last couple of years. And you can always tell within a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
If they kind of look you in the eye, if they kind of like address, you know, but I always think that's one mark I look for. Is do they introduce themselves to you with their name?
Yeah, yeah.
Or do they just kind of go, hi?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, yes.
Well, there's nothing worse yes, than we can't shake.
We'll do the yes, play, but I'll just about shake your hand. Yeah. That's really interesting. So was it you'd done the work, as in you'd prepared that morning, you'd done your routine? I think this is important because like this is a big part of business, is preparing for important events. So you'd centered yourself.
Grinded. Yeah,
you got to grind yourself. Do.
And the thing too is, like, no one knows your business better than yourself. Like, no one can sell my business better than me. And I'm always transparent. Like, I don't, if the truth is horrendous, I'll still tell you it, and you can take that information and deal with it your way, but you'll always get it from me.
Yeah,
where I was like, I've got this opportunity and I'm in front of him now. I'm going to tell him exactly everything. So there's no hidden warts and all, so it's up to him to decide if it's something that he wants to move forward with. And I moved it, and that I work that way every day. I told him everything, and I told him how horrendous it was and where we were, and we were hemorrhaging money and I was borrowing money, and to the point where I was like, I don't know if I'm going to survive. And I had everything going for me. Like, I knew I had the most amazing brand, I've got great liquid, I've got a great story. But, you know, COVID was COVID, and we were dealt with the cards that we were dealt with. And I needed to get out, and I just needed this. It was like one of those things. I went to my brother and I said to him, look, can I borrow some money for the business? And he said to me, like, he didn't question me. And he said, look, it's like throwing fire, our money on a fire. And I was like, please, like, just watch it burn. But I was like, I'm telling you, something good's going to come of it. I was like, I can feel it in my bones. Within 3 weeks later, sure, I met Russell and I went back to him. I said, you can have your money back now if you want. But it's just pure determination, I suppose.
We'll touch on COVID in a minute, but I want to talk to you.
Oh, we don't have to.
You can briefly outline it or not. How do you plan? Because I'm quite interested in your whiteboard and your manifestation. We're a big believer in planning, manifestation. We talk about a lot on the pod. How do you plan? So kind of bring me through that manifestation whiteboard. Like, how do you think about that? How do you add to it? What do you take away? And then how do you plan like your days, weeks, months, years?
So I do a deep meditation, and like I ask the universe, I ask Mother Earth, I ask the question as to be like, what should I be focusing on?
A deep meditation.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
It was not even deep meditation. So I feel like every human should literally sit on the grass barefoot with their hands in the, we should do it every day, even for a few minutes. I just think even the energy will center you and it grounds you and it gives you a bit of clarity and you can breathe. Like, so for my thing is sometimes I'm just like, I can feel the earth, I can smell the grass, I can feel the wind, I can feel the heat of the sun, I can hear the birds. And that might only be 3 minutes, but that 3 minutes will literally calm me down and it focus me. And then I'll always ask for like a sign or something to pop into my head, and no matter what it is, it could be even a person, and it could be a random person, but I'll write it down. I'm like, right, is that a message, or why is that in my head?
And so a thought will come.
Something will come, or something, and it might not make sense for months to me, and then they'll go, I know what that is.
How do you pick the thoughts that are relevant? Because I often find that when I'm trying to meditate.
You feel it in your heart, okay. You feel it in your gut. Like, I will listen to my body more than I will listen to anybody, including anything that happens, meeting people, I could be in here and if I instantly had felt uneasy, I'll excuse myself pretty fast. I'm very aware of people now, but again, it's because I've done so much work myself in the last couple of years that I can read people pretty quick. And I can obviously listen to myself. So I will ask the questions, I will write it down, and then it's about making a plan where, for me, even with the business, I was like, what is it that I need to do? Like, what's going to make me different? Like, what's my message? What's my vision? Like, what I want to be known for? All those things are, like, they mean something to you in order for you to stay focused on what the business is. So, in regards to getting, like, I knew I wanted to build a brand home. I knew that I wanted Ed and Russell to be part of my story. I wanted to get into a Coles in Australia. There were certain things on my whiteboard that I was like, I'm going to make that happen. And then it's all planning, like, how to make that happen, because you're not going to do it overnight. And I think people give up on their plans way too easy because they don't have overnight success. But, like, cheekers, like, it's just not
social media. We talked about this earlier. Social media misconstrues everything.
Yeah.
Oh, manifestation doesn't work. But okay, how long did you do it for? Did you just write on the board today and expect it's going to happen tomorrow? And it also gets kind of hijacked by people as well. I think manifestation gets hijacked by a certain group of people.
100%. But it's even like, I used to ask the universe for patience. I'm like, please, God, give me patience. Please give me patience, because I don't really have any. Yeah. And then, eventually, like, somebody said to me, you do realize that you're not going to wake up this morning with patience. They're going to give you challenges every day that make sure you be patient. And I was like, oh my goodness, is that how this works? And it really took me a bit of a long time for that to sink in. I was like, the more I'm asking for something, it's not like it's just going to be given to me. You've got to work for it, and you've got to believe in it, and you've got to love it, I suppose, as well. So my plan, I've got a big plan, my whiteboard, and I add on to it. Nothing really comes off unless it's done. So even as I was saying to you, I have written Learn Spanish on my whiteboard for nearly 5 years, and every January it's rewritten on it. We're moving to Miami now in September, and they speak 90% Spanish. So I thought,
there you go,
there it is now. Yeah, I kind of have to do it now. So, and I want to do it. So I'm hoping now for 2026 that I'll have a line through that one. But I focus on what it is, my big picture, and then my 6 month picture, my 3 month picture, and then my month to month.
Okay.
So again, back to the spirituality and my full moon. I do a full moon ceremony every full moon. Now, don't get me wrong, sometimes I might not be able to do it because I might be traveling or something like that, but I still will always set my intentions for that month. So I'll say, right, this month I want this to happen.
And is that like a number of things, or like, sorry to go into nitty gritty, but I love kind of like the specifics of this, because I do it every month as well, and I'll have big three, and then I'll have like a list of other stuff. I call them admin, but I'll have big three.
Yeah,
and the big three have to be done.
Yeah.
How do you do it?
In regards to my
month, let's say it's the month, or like, how do you break it down? As in, like, what's your month plan look like?
Again, depending what I want for the next month. So for August, there are certain things in my personal life and my business that I want to see done. So I'll write them down, and then I will focus on them.
But is it 1, 10, 5? How do you kind of like quantify it?
I normally do like 3. So it could be a health thing, it could be a business thing, and it could be a personal thing. So I try not to overdo it, but then obviously my business list, the further one would have loads more. So it's just by prioritizing them. And then if it doesn't happen, I just move it on to the next month, and I'll add on to it. Like, I don't put any pressure myself that it has to be done. I have my mantra that I say, it's for the better. So if it doesn't happen that month, I'm like, okay, but stay focused and keep it on my vision board. That I get a no, I think we were saying that there, if I get a no, that's okay too. I've got my answer. I always think once you have your answer, you can move forward with whatever it is. So I will try and visualize and put a lot of energy into trying to make something happen. But if the answer is no, that's okay. Language through it, wipe it off. I move forward with something else.
I have the same mentality. I'll make a list of blockages. Anything that's really bothering me.
Yeah.
And I'll move through the list of blockages till they're gone.
Snip, snip.
That's it. Cut. Whether it's no or yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'll have moved it on. I'll bring it with me and go, right, what have I done to tackle it? Because it doesn't have to be all done in 1 month, but I'll bring it with me and go, what have I done to tackle that though?
Yeah.
It's all about keeping this to front of mind, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just saying, keeping focus. And I said to you, my things that I have, my whiteboard, it might not happen for 4 years, but they're there. You never know; it could happen sooner. It might happen later, but they're on the whiteboard.
There's a power in seeing it. There's a power in seeing it every day, because I use Notion as a digital planner. Everything goes in there, but I write the important stuff on a whiteboard because I think you have to see it. I was saying to Ben earlier, we're going on holidays in a certain amount of days. Every day I write it down. I write down how many days it is. I
stick until you run away?
Every day, yeah.
Why
every
that?
Day. To focus my mind.
Nice. It's
to focus my mind and to give myself a little bit of dopamine first thing in the morning.
Nice. Okay.
So I'll write down this, the many days, and then I'll write down one word. It'll be focus, leverage, or intensity for that day.
Okay.
Every single morning.
What was your word for today?
Focus.
Focus. I like it.
Focus today.
Well, like, I suppose I wouldn't have had my business if, you know, I came up with my idea of my business when I was 19. I sent my first email to my family. It was the subject of Muff Liquor Company, saying, listen, I'm going to drop out of law school. I'm going to move home. I'm going to learn how to make vodka from potatoes. I'm going to call it the Muff Liquor Company. Our mom was terminally ill at the time, and they were like, do you have another coming if you think you're adding this to our plate? Which obviously I didn't, but, you know, I talk about this all the time. I moved to London after my degree. I worked in property, and I worked for Colliers International, as one of the big real estates, and you have loads of interviews. Like, I had loads of interviews to get that job. But they said to me, they're like, tell me something interesting about you. And I said, listen, I'm here to make a bit of money. Once I make a bit of money, I'm going to move home. I'm going to have this company. It's called the Muff Liquor Company. I'm going to learn how to make vodka from potatoes. And I can see their faces as clear as if it was yesterday. And they were like, what? And I said, but that's my goal. So I talked about that for years. And when I launched the movie business in 2018, my three companies I worked for, my team and my old bosses were all there, because they were like, well, she freaking said it.
I love that.
She talked about it nonstop.
When was this? What year did you say that?
Oh, 2010, 11, 12, 13. Like, even when I launched there, sorry, the party we had a couple of weeks ago, one of my secretaries, and she messaged me, or she wrote to me under the photo, and she's like, oh my God, I remember you talking about this for years. And it took me 12 years from having the idea to actually pack it up London and moving home. And then I'm 6 years in business now.
I love that, though. Too many people hold it too close. They hold their ideas too tight.
But now I can understand that too, Gary, though. Like, people said to me nonstop, you're mad, pipe dream, full of notions. Like, I got that nonstop. People, like, would you stop going on about it? You're not going to own the Muff Liquor Company. You're not going to do this. It's not true.
People would say that.
All the time, because I said it all the time. Like, I talked about it all the time. But, you know, I always joke that the 3rd of February or the 4th, whatever day the day after we launched the business, I was like, I jumped out of the hotel bed. I was like, oh my God, I've got a business to run. Like, that's because cool. I talked about
you
it so
launched
long.
On my birthday.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Oh, there's a good omen there.
There's a serendipity. That's incredible. So, like, I think it's important, though, Laura, because people just say, oh, I have an idea, but I don't really want to talk about it. I'm like, well, then it'll never happen.
Yeah.
Because, oh, some might steal it. I'm like, no. Ideas are not new. There's no new ideas.
Well, I'm saying that. Apparently I sold thousands of people's idea of our company name. Like, the amount of message. I got a euro for every time I got an email or a message from somebody saying you stole my company name. I wouldn't have to work.
Oh, let me just call up the trademarks office. Like, okay. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, just do it. Execution 90, idea 10.
Yeah.
Just get on and do it.
Passion, but a drive, but a belief. Like, to me, that's the only thing that gets through it. Like, even during COVID, as I said, like, it was really, really, really difficult. I cried nearly every day for nearly 3 years. I was even, like, I told, like, I was at home, I was living in the Caribbean, I was still crying. And I used to say, like, I would say to God, I'm like, please knock me down so hard that I cannot get up, because I will fight for this company to my dying breath. And then, like, obviously, because I believed in it so much and myself, and then it came good. But I needed something really bad to have happened in order for this to have stopped.
You used the ultimate care.
Yeah.
Where did the idea come from? Because obviously you had it when you're 19.
Yeah, so my granddad was a potato farmer, Philip McClendon. He introduced us to poaching. He used to always get it on Christmas Day. He would have it soaked in brandy balls for I don't know how long he would have done it. So I just couldn't understand why it wasn't bought and sold. Obviously I was young and didn't really understand the legality of it all. Didn't really realise, you know, obviously it was being made in the barn, so hygienic and stuff like that, but I kind of understood. I was like, well, I don't understand why this isn't sold. So it took me obviously a couple of years to obviously get my head around it. So yeah, that's where it came from. It was just like a butt of an idea.
So it was just ingrained in you when you were small, like, yeah, oh, just like, just that, why not? Stayed there.
Yeah, then 12 years later, I did it.
And what was the spark to get you over the line? Because like, loads of people listening have ideas, right? But yeah, like, the 0 to 1 piece is always the bit I love to explore with people, because what was the thing that went you, made you go from, okay, idea, to I'm going to do it?
Tom Russell, my business partner, he's like my original, like, he's a silent investor, but we're like best mates. I was his account manager, as they're huge property developers in the UK. I was his account manager for 8 years, and at this point I was a UK director. We had 17 offices across China, 300 staff. I was 31. We were in Shanghai in this Michelin star sushi restaurant, and I was miserable. And he was like, "What? You've got everything going for you." I said, I don't want to do this. I said, "Where do I go now? Like, I'm never going to own this company. Like, I've kind of peaked. But to me, I was like, I've got my title, got the money. What now?" I was like, "I feel like my soul is dying." Wow. And I said those words. And he's like, "Well, what is it?" And he goes, "Don't mention the Muff Liquor Company to me again." And I was like, "That's what I want to do." And he's like, "What do you need to happen in order for you to make this happen?" And I was like, "I don't know, maybe a bit of money." And he's like, "Right, okay." So the next day he sent me a message. He's like, "You know, whatever you're selling, I'm buying." So he was like, if you allow me, as I want to be your business partner, I want 50-50. He goes, "I'll back you." I had no business plan. It was just an idea. I had no idea what I was doing, but I said, "Yeah, great." So myself and him bootstrapped it completely ourselves for the first bit.
What did you do though, Laura? Like, how do you go from like, "Oh yeah, I'm just going to set up a liquor company"?
Telling my family was probably the biggest thing. My dad says he described it was like a death. Like a message came through the group. He kind of thought that we got hit really bad by the recession in 2008, was it?
Yeah.
We were all back on our feet again. And he just was like, "Really? Is this really what you're going to do to us after everything that we've been through?"
Because you had on paper, the great life, yeah, for the big job. Yeah. You were in London, were you?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, in London, doing really well.
And his thing too was like, "You're 31 and you're thinking about doing this here, you're setting up a company," which you'd always think you'd like focusing on getting married and having children. And I was like, "Oh no." You know, he just thought it was like a huge risk in every angle of my life. But yeah, but as soon as he did it, I had it in my notice. I was packed and ready to go, and I was home. And then obviously I kind of went, what I do now? And I managed, my brother had a business partner who knew someone. So we had a few calls with him, and we kind of got the ball rolling. I think the key is to ask questions. Like, I don't care if someone laughs at me, if they think it's a silly question, I'll always ask it, because once I ask it, I'll never ask it again. Mm. And I think I've asked for help. I think that's probably key. I think a lot of people, like, they're like, "Oh, I don't want to lose face." You lose bigger face by...
Yeah, I'd rather lose face than money.
Yeah, 100%. So, yeah, just went through the legality of it, setting it up. But because I had the vision in my head for years, like, I knew what I was going, what I wanted. When we met Connor Smith, who is our creative designer, after our first meeting, Tom said to me, "You're mental if you think that guy is going to know what you just came out of your mouth." What the idea, but Connor did. He got it straight away. He sent me a drawing over maybe 2 days later, and he's like, "What is this? What you want?" And I was like, "Yes, that is exactly what I want."
What were you asking him to do?
Design the bottle, the logo, the story, and then the whole thing too is you're coming up with a story, and you're trying to think of like what the brand is, and people were throwing loads of ideas around me. And I remember I was in London. I went out after work for a few drinks, and I came home, and I was like, "No. You're all missing the point. That is not what this is about."
What did people think it was?
A gimmick, because the name is obviously quite cheeky. They were going down like the innuendo, like the sexual part of it. And I was like, "That's not what I stand for, or what my visualized my brand to be." And I said, "Isaac, this has been inspired by my grandfather, who was extremely hardworking and a family man, and he was still working at 100 years old. You know, this." As much as the name is cheeky, that's not the focus. It's meant to be the rest of it. And eventually Connor said, "Well, why don't we do that then? Why don't we make the story tell your story as authentic as it is. So it's easier to tell. So that's how it all came.
A lot of people just don't have a story, so they invent these stupid stories.
I know, but like, I can't lie to save my life. Like, I really.
But they're
can.
Terrible because so,
I panic.
I can tell. I can just go through them straight away. Oh, here comes the origin myth. You can always tell, and you're like, oh Christ, this came out as dreamt up by an agency.
Yeah, of course. And
you're like, oh, I don't mind if it's just a normal story. Just be honest. Like, going. Yeah. And a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, no, I just wanted to start a business, so I started, and there's no real story. It's just how I started.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Well, the story is you wanted freedom for yourself.
Yeah.
There's always a story if you look back hard enough and just be honest. So what were you trying to do? You were trying to design the brand, the bottle, and
the
then
liquid.
Get that made.
Well, the vodka was what we were always creating first. Because I don't like gin. Well, I didn't like gin until I created my own. But
nice save there.
He's like, but one of my best mates, she worked in the industry, and she rang me and she's like, you know, Laura, there's going to be this massive gin trend. Like, you kind of need to get in front of it. And I was like, that. Right. Nah. I was like, I hate gin.
Yeah.
I was like, how could I sell it? And she's like, go and figure out what it is that you don't like about it. So we went down into the distillery. We messed around with it, and I found out it's actually juniper berries that I don't like. I don't like the sharpness. So our gin is not juniper led. There's enough juniper in it to legally call it a gin, but it's very
is that
smooth.
What makes it gin, is it? The juniper
berries? Yeah, the juniper berries.
Ah.
So my gin and my vodka have the same base, and then you add the botanicals, and
right.
It becomes a gin. So when people always say, I love your gin, but I hate your vodka, I'm like, it's the same, but obviously
that was good advice
flavor.
From your friend, wasn't it?
Oh, I owe her big time.
That's
so,
serious good advice.
The gin came out, and even with it, we were like, can you make gin from potato base? Like, we just didn't know. But
so you wanted the anchor of your grandfather's story, the potatoes. You wanted that to be the anchor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what it was. So gin then. So we ended up launching the gin before we did the vodka because we knew this was going to be a trend. And
she was bang on, wasn't she?
She sure was. Oof. I know. So thankfully, and we've got this product now, and like, I'm extremely proud of it. I mean, like, I love it. I love my gin. I love my vodka.
So you've got a pretty decent range now. So you got your gin, then came the vodka.
And then the whiskey.
And now you've got your whiskey as well.
Yeah, so that's a five-part blend, 6 years old now. I've got another three products that we're working on at the moment, which I don't know when they're going to come out, but never ends.
But yeah. I think there's a good lesson in that as well. Like, you know, it's bit by bit.
Oh, of course.
Don't try boil the ocean, just do bit by bit. And even you were willing to pivot, kind of going, oh, well, don't really want to do gin, but if it makes logical sense.
Well, it's even like the distillery, like the amount of slack I used to get online for not having a distillery and making it in Muff. But I was like, people don't understand how expensive it is to actually set up an alcohol company. For me, my name was so cheeky. I didn't know if it was going to be a gimmick and people weren't going to take me serious or not. So
people used to give you abuse because you didn't make it yourself in Muff.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And then this was always something in the back of my mind. And like, thank God I didn't have a distillery or have the building in Muff during, because I wouldn't have a business if I hadn't done it. And again, it's all about right timing. Now we've built one. I will manufacture, like, if my still is piped, ready to go, but I'm not going to be doing it this side of Christmas. I need my building up and running. I need my tours up and running. I need my team settled. I need to do my revenue paperwork and all that stuff. And then I'll do it. And again, somebody else will have an opinion on that. I'm like, I am not putting pressure on myself and my team just to appease people from outside.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm a perfectionist. I walk in with integrity every day in my business, and I will do it in my own time, and I will do it. Anything I say I'm going to do, I do. There's nothing that I haven't not done. So, it's just about timing and doing it right.
Timing as well. Like, there were so many distilleries popped up.
A lot.
Oh my God. I think I read one day there's enough distilleries for every county in Ireland.
In Ireland. I think even more now. But sure, you think about it. I've got Crawley's Distillery, I've got Sleeve League, and now we've got Muff. And I'm sorry if there's any more in Donegal, but like, there are our main ones. But like, I'm opening a bar in my distillery, and I have their gin and vodka and whiskey in my bar. And people are like, what are you doing? And I was like, these people aren't my competitors. Mm. Like, they're people who I know work extremely hard to do what they want, and I'm 2.5 hours away from them. So the chances are people are either going to go to their distillery or they're going to come to mine.
Yeah.
So I'm going to let them try other Donegal, and not even Donegal. I've got most of any of the companies that set up either the year before, the year of, or the year after me are all there. My bar will have 98% of Irish products.
That's cool.
And then Ed has a wine company. I've become really good friends with those guys. I'm selling their wine from the UK. And then I've got a really good friend who has a rum company. I've got his.
Class.
But everybody in the bar is, I'm connected to them in some way, that I will support them as much as I can.
I like that, because people often say to me, oh, you're competing with so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. I'm like, no, I'm just competing for time.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, it's time. How you allocate your time is the most important thing in the world. Mm. You know, so like for someone to sit down with me and you for an hour is a huge deal. Mm. It's a huge like decision to spend an hour with Gary and Laura. So like I'm just competing to make that hour the best possible. I'm not really competing with anybody really. Yeah. It's the same with you. Like, I mean, the world's big enough.
100%.
Like it's always people who are insecure that said that, though. Yeah. Those people aren't really, they're cutting corners on their own product, or they're not really doing it the way they should be.
Well, my whole thing is, if you don't like my product, have another Irish. You know, as I said to you, I was out on Saturday night and walked into a bar and I said, do you have muff gin? And they said, we're out. And I said, do you have any other Irish product? They didn't. So I was like, all right, okay. But I will always, I make a point of it to make sure I either pick up my own or pick up someone that I know. And some of them I don't really like, but I'll still buy it. Like, I will buy it. And I make a point of that, but that's just my choice. That's what I do on a daily basis.
Yeah, well, we went
not
for
coffee. Not that I drink every day, sorry.
Yeah. Other choices. Well, we went for coffee there, and I just went to a small independent coffee shop because it's how you choose, right? Everything's a choice. You can choose to go to a Costa or whatever, or you can choose to support Irish. But, like, make the choice. Be active in your decision. Don't be passive.
Yeah.
And then be online complaining because Ireland isn't doing well.
Oh, like 100%. And again, I know how hard they all bloody work.
Mm.
I know because I'm in it. So, again, if I can help someone out. And a lot of it is, I said to them, they rang me and they said, well, what product do you want? And I said, well, what do you want to promote? And I said, if I'm in Donegal, are you in any of the airports in the north that would have your product? Because if they're trying it, the chances are they're going to fly out.
Yeah, that's a good
point. So I was like, so put that one in. Or if you want something brand new. But the thing is, I'm in a show and I'm at the very top of Ireland. The chances are people are going to come, they're coming for a once off, they'll probably never come back. So to me, let's try and promote as much as we possibly can in our bar. And hopefully they'll pick it up in Belfast or Derry or Dublin Airport on the way home.
That's a good psychology, actually, thinking of where's the next touch point. Talk to me then about like expansion, because you've just done your brand home and you're looking abroad now. You've done Australia. Where's next?
America. I would say this year has been so, like, I feel like I've lived 3 years so far and we're only halfway through the year. I say, like, it's like what we were doing. So we got our building just before Christmas, and within 7 months we've turned it around to what we showed the world 2 weeks ago, which is absolutely phenomenal.
It looks slick.
It is class.
Go to YouTube. Well, finish watching this. Yeah. Then click over, open a new tab, and look at the launch video. It's slick.
It is really beautiful. Like the team, I mean, there was probably 50 vans of men 6 days a week. And I mean, they were there. I mean, hours. Like, I'm so unbelievably grateful for them for what they have done. Like, they worked tirelessly around the clock in 7 months to do what they did. Because we were on a time schedule, because I knew the 2nd of July was the only day that I was going to be able to get all my celebrities in Muff at one point. And even with that, we were still painting at 11:30 that night. Oh. And, you know, I always joke, I always say, you hear these stories and they're like, yeah, like we were painting at, you know, hours before we opened the door. And I was like, oh, so dramatic. And I was like, I am one of them now. Like, we were back in at 6:30 in the morning, and at 11 o'clock, I was like, right, everybody out. Whatever's done is done.
Yeah, need to get the smell of paint out of here.
Yeah, I was like, let's get it on with. But yeah, launched the building, had a launch party, which was a full-time job in itself. And now we're launching into America. I've got 30,000 cases heading to the States. So I'm sure this is going to be a really good part of a story down the line. But I said to everyone, I said, what were we thinking? What were we thinking? But thankfully, so far, we've pulled it off.
Doing the two together, is it?
Just everything. the three big events or big things that were happening at once was, it was a lot. Like my team worked. They work extremely hard, but what they have done for the company and for me the last couple of months is, you know, admirable, and like I couldn't do it without them, to be honest. So
The power of a deadline is interesting, though, isn't it?
Well, the joke was my brother, Mike, was the project manager. And,
oh, really?
And he was like, listen, we'll have this done in end of May. And I was like, you sure? He's like, yeah.
Has he never watched Grand Designs?
But no, in fairness, he's absolutely phenomenal what he does. But yeah, because I said to him, I think, you do know they're coming on the 2nd of July.
Over budget and over time. We know this is going to happen.
Big time. But sure, look, it's well worth it. It was worth all of it. Like, people said to me the day of the launch, they were like, you're extremely calm. I said, sure, why not? Like, this, look what we've done. Let's enjoy it no matter what. And everyone's like, they were like, did anything go wrong? And I was like, if anything was going wrong, I wasn't aware of it. You know, that's how good it was executed on my eyes anyway.
I always get sad when I see people like do something and then launch it and they're just not even there on the day mentally. They're just so checked out. They're like, you've worked for years for this moment, whether it's a launch or a book launch or a product launch or a venue launch, and they're so stressed. Oh, where are the chairs? You're like, you're missing the whole thing.
Exactly.
And then tomorrow you'll wake up and go, the crash of the anticlimax will be so big.
Yeah.
It's all about the journey, right? Cliche alert. I say this all the time.
It's true.
But it is, though. Mm. If you're not enjoying the day to day, the quote I'm thinking about now a lot is like, life is a collection of Tuesdays.
Nice.
You need to be happy on Tuesdays. If you can be happy on Tuesdays, you'll be happy.
That's so weird that you say that. You know, for my entire adulthood, I only do interviews, like big meetings on a Tuesday.
Oh, wow. This was meant to be on a Tuesday.
I know.
But we moved because of Ben.
Yeah.
But at least not listening to us now.
But they, honest to God, I do it I subconsciously do it on a Tuesday.
That's interesting.
So it's my family would do it. My dad's got into our head. Like, he's, my dad's very religious, but it's every Tuesday is a St. Martha's Day. So he'll light a candle every Tuesday. So I've grown up in a house knowing that Tuesday is always a good day, I suppose. So, and ever since I've done it. I'll probably get married on a Tuesday.
Well, post-COVID, people were getting married on Tuesday. I was like, oh, that's kind of...
Yeah.
Tuesday's a rough day. Hard day to convince people to go take Monday and Tuesday off, maybe Wednesday as well.
Oh, good luck to my guests. I'm going to have to take them away for a whole week. I'm like, we're going overseas, people.
Yeah, if it's in Miami, I'll be there. Don't worry. Yeah. Is there someone that kind of inspires you? Is there someone in your life that kind of inspires you to drive on like this? Because you seem exceptionally driven.
My dad starts from him. He was an amazing entrepreneur, but he is extremely grounded. He never gets stressed. He is so collective together. He's so compassionate. He never stressed. Like, honestly, anything, if I was having a really bad day, he's like, it will pass. Don't worry about it. Tomorrow's a new day. You know, it's like that. And he's had businesses that have gone in, have collapsed during the recession twice, and both times he's bounced back.
Mm.
I love how he knows every single name of a team of 65 people. Now, my dad's like retired, but he'll still go up to the factory and he knows everyone's name. He knows their wife's names. He knows their kids' names. You know, he taught us how to work hard, be humble, understanding like a day's graft. You know, we always had respect for money. We've always respect for people and we've always respected for time. He's given us those morals. So my brothers are the same. Like, I'm a late one. I'm 18 years younger. There's 15 years between me and the next. I was raised with three fathers and two mothers, which as a teenager was a nightmare.
That's a lot, yeah.
It was a lot. But with but they were all entrepreneurs themselves and really? Very successful. That I grew up in a household. I learned how to walk before I knew how to sit down. My mom always said I was just dying to grow up. Yeah, but like, that was true. You know, they said they were all running around after me because I would get tired walking and just throw myself back. So they constantly had like a pillow and a belt around me. But I was always dying to grow up. And I suppose with that, I've seen the beauty and I've seen the worst. Mm. And as my dad said, like, we lost our mom and we nearly lost everything. But he said, as a family, we never broke. United is very much there and the support is there and love is there, and we ask difficult questions, we have difficult conversations, but at the end of the day, as he would say, it's just we love each other. And I think when you have a bit of passion, a bit of love about anything in life, work or people, you're halfway there.
Mm. No secrets. Secrets are poison.
No point.
Yeah, me and my wife have talked about this a lot. Like, secrets are poison. Secrets cause just so much unhappiness.
They blow out of proportion, most of them too.
Most of them are in your head. Yeah. Right? Most of the problems are in your head. But you speak them out loud and you're like, oh, it disappears like the wind. Yeah. There's no actual...
Well, do you ever, like, when I was younger, you say, just tell the truth, it will lift you, or, you know, that pain go away. And as soon as you would say something, it's like, oh, you can breathe.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you feel it there in the center of your chest. Yeah. You'll feel that, like, that tightness there in your chest bone, and then you say it out loud, or you talk to someone about it, or you go to therapy or whatever, and then it's just gone. Mm-hmm. You're like, wow, that lightness.
Yeah, yeah.
That I think for entrepreneurs, that's so powerful to have that, though. Because you carry so much as it is. We talked earlier about so many decisions. Mm-hmm. You have to make so many decisions.
All the time.
And you're like, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? And I love when we go away for a day, and if we just plan out something, I don't have to think about anything.
Nice.
Just wherever. Whatever we do.
Yeah.
I don't mind. As long as I don't have to decide.
Well, you're saying that. I have that because obviously I'm a female, but I'm in my masculine energy so much during the day. Every decision, even when I say to my team, you're okay to make this decision, even if you're wrong, it's okay. They'll still say, just want to double check. Okay. Can you sign that off? So I am constantly in my masculine energy. And like, there's nothing I love more when I go home. Like, even if I could open the jar, I won't. I'll ask a male in my house, I'm like, can you do this? Or like, just tell me that I'm hungry, feed me. But then as the spiritual side of me is, I work at myself all the time. Like, I have self-care some Wednesdays, I'll always have a bath, moisturize, I'll dance, you know, I'll light candles, I'll try
in my, intentionally, you'll have that intentionally. So I like to talk about the body, the business, and the brain.
Yeah.
They're my three categories. That's how I kind of live my life, and that's how I kind of like try to talk to people on the podcast. So it's very interesting. Sometimes people say, don't ask me about the body or the brain. I don't do anything there. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a tough conversation. Okay. They don't
want to talk about it.
Don't want to talk about it. They just won't address it. Oh, it's crazy. So like, in the last 5-6 years, I've been on this journey to kind of go, it's not just business, it's body, brain. It starts with the brain, goes to the body, then goes to the business. Because if you haven't got the first two, you won't have the third one.
Sure.
So how do you look after your brain?
Well, it's through body. Like, I invest in myself, and I talk about this all the time. I go to therapy. I don't go to therapy as much as I did, but I did do therapy. I made a conscious decision a couple of years ago to make sure that I was in the best physical, mental, spiritual, emotional state that I could possibly be in. I owe it to myself, and I owe it, like, in regards to my business as well. Like, I want this here, so I will do everything in my power to be the best version. So I'll always, like, I have a life coach, but again, I might only check in with him maybe twice a year now. Mm. Because I've done so much work that every decision on a day-to-day basis, I'm okay. And sometimes if I am questioned, I'll say to my team, are you asking me because you need my opinion, or are you asking me because you actually have self-doubt? Because if you've got self-doubt, I'll answer it. But if you've already made up your mind, just go with it. So I'm like, don't waste my time on it. So I do PT, I eat healthy, I meditate, I do stretch classes, I do physio, I do massages. Like, my dad likes to call me a pampered pooch, but I do this because I need to invest in myself. Mm-hmm. Because it makes me feel good. Like, I walk around, as I would say, Miriam Hussey, I walk around and I'm constantly in love. You know, like, that's where I is. Like, even talking here now, I feel like my heart is always glowing. And when it's not, that's when I go, right, okay, what's off? What's off kilter? And I will do the grounding into the barefoot, into the grass. I'll just take a few minutes. Like, it doesn't have to be overly time consuming. But, like, when I even said to Jerry, he's like, oh, I don't have time to do this. He's like, if you don't have time to do half an hour meditation, he goes, I want you to do an hour.
So then I'm like, it's weird you said that. I heard that quote this morning in the podcast. And it's interesting you said the other thing, because I do this weekly newsletter. And yesterday, I do a quote of the week every week. And yesterday was, live life like it's entirely rigged in your favor by Rumi. And it's that quote. And it's exactly what you were saying there.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Like, I feel that everything's going to happen exactly the way that I want it. It might not happen in my time. And like, I would have had that there even with my personal life, you know, and your relations wouldn't have worked out. And like, we would have been really like soul destroying for a while. I'm thinking, like, what is it that I'm going wrong? And then if something would business would go in a completely different direction, like, you know, amazing. And I'm like, right, this is taking me in this direction. And I think, like, even dealing with that and understanding that it's just all about the divine timing. Mm-hmm. Like, I every day go, I surrender to the highest power. Like, I leave it up to them. And my only thing I can control is how I react. And I choose not to react to absolutely anything. Like, you'll never get me raising my voice. You won't get me arguing. Even if somebody wants to fight with me, like, my whole solution, like, to everything is throw water over a fire. I would say, like, even with my team, I said to them, I said, what are we doing with this here? It's like, someone came at us and they were like, let's go back, let's fight them, fight fire. And I was like, we don't fight fire with fire, ever. I was like, if you have an email and your email address is at the Muff Liquor Company, that is not how we work. So I was like, water over fire kills it every time.
Or oxygen, starve it of oxygen.
Either one.
What is the quote? Never explain, never complain, get it done and let them howl.
Okay.
That's how I think about it. You know, the Twitter trolls and the TikTok trolls we talked about?
Yeah.
That's how I think about it. Just
let them at it.
Starve it of oxygen. Because all bullies want is oxygen. Attention. Look at me. Give me attention.
Okay, but I always, when I read like comments and stuff, I go, I always think, God, hurt people.
For sure.
And like a lot of times I feel really sorry for people. I'm just thinking, God, like, is that what's going on in your life that you think is acceptable for you to go on social media and comment under a photo of a complete stranger? All I'm doing is following a dream and a passion of setting up an alcohol company.
Yeah.
Like, that's all it is. It's just a job. It's a company. But for me, like, I'm a human being with real life problems as everybody else, or situations or challenges. How you think you can just pitch me into this box now because I own a company is insane.
We live in a very angry world. Like, the world post-COVID seemed quite angry. I think just because people haven't dealt with it.
Yeah,
I think people haven't taken the time to deal with the trauma.
It was traumatic. And like, I think in years to come, we're going to look back and go, what was that?
Yeah.
It was.
No doubt. Our kids and kids will be studying it.
Yeah.
They'll be going, oh my God, what? You couldn't go 5K?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You weren't allowed to hug anyone. You weren't allowed to go to funerals.
Like, you didn't see anybody, five people. Terrible. Like, when you put it down on paper, it's absolutely bonkers.
It's insane what we did.
And we all, what, 2 years ago now, we all just went, okie dokie, yeah, let's not talk about that then. And we all just carried on life as normal. Mm-hmm. But like, I passed a person on the street yesterday. It would have been quite elderly. And it was in the main street, open air, and they had the mask on and they were hunched over. And I was like, it left indelible marks on a lot of people.
Yeah,
they're still living in COVID.
Yeah.
They're still living in that fear.
There was a fear. You know, for me, I told you, like, I went off to Barbados, but like, I was back in Donegal. I don't know where I was when the breakout was happening. I thought, I better get home. I was in Spain. I was like, I better get home. If we're going into lockdown, I'd probably be best for me to be in Donegal. And then I was still working, running my company, as every day we came up with cocktail boxes. I was out driving, like, deliveries every day, like, living. Like, I loved it. But I was coming home every time with the fear of thinking, oh my God, what if I get my dad sick?
Mm.
And what if this is a thing that, you know, could kill him? And I know it's a bit dramatic that I said I went off to Barbados. Like, I could have just moved next door, but I did. And in my headset, I was like, I just needed to pretend like it wasn't happening and taking away as much fear as possible. But yeah, I reckon I would say, like, if they could have burnt me at a stake with, they probably would have. Like, I just didn't believe all the media, like, but then people were getting sick, so you had to, there was a lot of fear with it.
I think in hindsight, it was massively overblown. Yeah, I think possibly. We can all agree now that it was just a little bit overblown. You went to Barbados.
Yeah. See,
talk to me about that.
See, I was moving to Bali, so I was launching in Australia, and I had a shipment ready to go.
This is what, 2020?
2020. 2021, was it? Yes.
20 has happened.
Yeah, so I think at that point, you know, like, we were all like, oh, it's going to be over in 3 weeks. It's going to be over in 2 weeks. It's going to be, like, we were trying to see how long it realistically was going to be. But I was packed ready to go to move to Bali. I was going to live in Bali and just fly into Australia whenever they needed me to whatever promotions and stuff. So my suitcases were packed. And then I was like, right, I'm not going to Australia. Every few days I get an email from my flight saying flight's still cancelled or rescheduled, and it was constant. And then I heard about the welcome stamp where you can you could go, I go, any entrepreneur could go and live in a COVID-free island somewhere in the Caribbean. So I looked up where I could be. Within 24 hours, I had my visa, my flight. I was sitting in Heathrow Airport and off I went. And like, love everyone that. Was like, oh, you're running from your problems. So I was like, I'm not running with them. They're taking it with me. I'm just dealing with a better climate.
It's like that quote, wherever you go, there you are.
Yeah, like you can run from your problems. You can move. I have a person that I know, and he just run, like, moves country to country to country. And I'm like, mate, until you go to therapy, you're taking your problems, you're just dealing with it in a different place.
Yeah.
So I was like,
just because it's warmer doesn't mean you haven't got the problems.
Exactly. So I'm just like, go to therapy, get over and done with.
Cheaper as well in the long run.
Oh, like 100%. Like, I'm a massive advocate for any healing. I feel that every single person of us has got some sort of trauma in some sort of way. It's given to us because nobody actually wants a trauma, but it is our responsibility to heal. We're responsible for ourselves and the people around us, the impact that we have on people on a day-to-day basis. So for me, I'm just like, invest in yourself as much as possible. Go to therapy and heal. And maybe a really, really difficult year could be 18 months, but once you wake up one day, you're like, it's gone.
It's mental fitness.
Yeah.
I think of it as mental fitness because you have to go to the gym to get fit. You don't just like get fit by thinking about it. Oh, I'm going to get fit. Okay, I'll just sit here and think about it. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
You have to do the work.
Yeah,
it's the same with mental health and mental fitness. You have to do the work. You can't just go la 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 la. Can't just throw it into the background. You have to do the work.
Absolutely.
There's no shortcut.
Well, we were talking there earlier on about the retreats. Like, I go on a retreat every year. And everyone, like, they said to me, like, how come you go, I go to one in Portugal, Soul Space.
It sounds incredible.
Yeah, well, no, that's the silent retreat is a separate one. The other one is, it's again, Miriam and Jerry, that they take a group away, but they do everything. You have therapy, you've got yoga, you've got sound baths, like, you meditation, you name it, it's like all compact. But people say to me, like, how come you go every year? I say, it's like going to the gym.
Mm.
It's like, I know 90% of what Jerry and Miriam are going to say because I go to them and I listen to them all the time. But I was like, it's like learning the alphabet. Like, you just keep saying it over and over again. And sometimes you'll forget something and I'm like, oh, I forgot that he's told me to do that.
Yep.
So I just go back just to reset myself. It's 4 days out of the whole year that I take for me. I turn off my phone as soon as I arrive. I never turn it back. I don't turn it on until I'm in the airport. And I take that time to, like, right, where am I mentally, physically, and emotionally, and what is my focus? Is it business, personal, whatever it is? Take that time out, recenter, refocus, and off I go again.
Mm, but 4 days to make the whole year better.
I know.
Oh, I don't have time. I love that quote. If you don't have 20 minutes, you need an hour.
I'm like, expensive. I was like, you get your flights, you get a hotel, 5-star, your food's included. Normally, a session with those guys are pretty punchy anyway. And I was like, you get all of it all in one.
But it's all about value. Like, what value are you getting?
Yeah.
Expensive is all relative, right?
It's expensive. You want to be expensive.
What do you value? Things are only expensive if you don't value them.
My mom had a saying, it's only expensive the day you buy it. And if you pay, she paid twice. Or, like, even when we were doing the distillery, I got really expensive bar stools. And my brother was like, we're not buying them. I was like, we are, yeah. And he was like, Laura, he goes, you're not getting them. I was like, no. I was like, listen, what would mom say? And we all started laughing. And he was like, just get your stools.
Pay cheap by twice.
But I was like, it's only expensive the day we buy it. And once we've paid for it, we won't ever think about it again. We'll just think about how beautiful these stools are in our bar.
We're trying to, like, for the last couple of years at home, we're trying to, like, get rid of as much as we can. Go as minimal as possible and only buy things. But spend more money on really good things.
Yeah.
So don't go into H&M and buy a 40 euro shirt. Go to Massimo Dutti and buy a 150 euro shirt.
You'll wear it more.
Really enjoy it. Really like it. I'm not saying go outrageous. Don't spend 10 grand on it. But, like, just buy better.
Mm-hmm.
Just buy less, but buy better. It's kind of a mentality for life, though, I think.
Yeah.
Just do less, but do better.
The thing, too, is, like, I used to be quite materialistic back in the day. When I say, like, my late tweeting teens, early 20s. And then once, like, even when my mum passed and we went into recession, I was like, what's it all about? Like, what's really matter? Don't get me wrong. I like fancy things, but it's not a priority for me at all. My priority is spending time with the people I love. Mm. And having the freedom, like, this is what I'm doing it for. I'm not doing it for anything else other than, yes, this is something that I've wanted for a really long time, but is it my legacy? I don't really want that to be. I don't want to be known as, oh, she was a really good businesswoman. I want to be known that I was a really good person.
Yeah.
You know, and like I say to my family, if anything, God forbid, happened to me and I die tomorrow, don't feel the pressure to keep this business going. You know, sell it. Whatever you make of it, go and have a great time. Go have whatever, a blowout on me and celebrate me. So that's kind of where my mentality is with it.
It's good though, and you have to think bigger, like, because I think, and I've definitely changed a lot since doing the podcast over the last 5 years, like, because you used to put people on pedestals and think of success in a certain way, and now when I get to chat to people, I get to know them, I often see what I don't want to do.
Yeah.
I often see, because I chat to a lot of young entrepreneurs, and they're like, oh, what about this, what about that? I'm like, I learn a lot about where I don't want to go.
Yeah. Well, I learn a lot about people. Like, money doesn't impress me. It never has. It comes and goes. Like, I think it's what I've learned. But, you know, I see how people make eye contact, how they interact with staff, like with waiters and people, whatever. And I mean, like, I really do. And there's sometimes where I'm like, I could be finished at coffee going, I can't do business with them.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm serious with that. And
so they'll treat you like that someday.
100%. You know, I know someone who, he cheated like on his wife, and I was like, I can't be in business with him. And they're like, are you mental? You don't. And I was like, if you think that that person can sleep beside someone knowing what they've done, what would they do for us in business? I said, I can't do it. And like myself and Tom, a semi business partner back in the day, I'd be like, we're not doing this deal. And he'd be like, what do you mean? Like, we need this deal. I'm like, no. I said, I'm telling you, my gut. And he, like, we would be at it. And eventually he'd be like, do you know what? I will never argue with you, and I'll never argue with your gut. so he just lets me at it. But I do feel that I'd rather have stronger morals and take me a bit longer to get somewhere than selling my soul to somebody.
But you have to, well, you don't have to, people don't, but like, you have to have principles. I have a principles document. Yeah, I look at it all the time and I update it. Because otherwise you're making 1,000 decisions all the time.
Yeah.
And you make one today, or did you do that same thing tomorrow? Because you have to have standards that you live by.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you don't, if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything.
Yeah, totally. And as I said, we were talking about it last week and or after the launch. My guys know my standards are, as I said, the standards are high. My boundaries are very much set. And it's not that I'm being stubborn in any way, but I go to bed every night. I do a gratitude thing. So every time I wake up in the morning, I thank the universe that I'm alive. And when I go to bed every night, I will go through every single person that I've interacted with that day. Even if it's been a bad interaction, I'll always thank that person for their time and for their lesson, just so I can go to bed with like a peace of mind, where I feel like that's, as long as I can go to bed at night and I hit my pillow and go, no, every decision I've made today is a good one for me. And like people say, do you have a hard time sleeping? I'm like, no. I'm out in probably 10, 15 minutes every day. The time I actually go through my list of thanking everybody, and it could be down to even the person that's giving me my ticket, and like I wouldn't know their name or anything, but I'll go through it. I'll probably be asleep by the time I get to the last one.
I love that though, because you're helping your brain process the day.
Just being thankful.
Being grateful, but also like just helping your brain process what happened and why it happened that way. Like there's definitely a massive power to that.
Well, it just works for me. But I'll even be like, I'm so grateful for this bread. I'm grateful for my duvet. I'm grateful for my pillow. I'm grateful for like the roof that I have over my head. And I'm grateful I'm not in a war zone. Like I went through that like an awful, like the last couple of months. Like I really struggled with what was happening in the world. And you know, you can sign petitions and write letters and send money. But like at the end of the day, like this is going on. And it really, really, really was affecting me that, you know, I was just like, right, I need to try and recenter and focus as well and do the best that I can in my life and you know, be gentle and kind with the people around me. That I think that's, again, that's just how I move on a day-to-day basis.
I have three kind of like brackets I put things into. Is it a good story, a good lesson, or a good time?
Right.
They're the three things, no matter what.
Could be all three.
Yeah, sometimes, right? Sometimes it's like something really bad, inverted commas, happens. I'm go, fuck it, be a good story. Someone will get a laugh. They'll get a laugh a little bit down the line, you know? Because you have to like process these things. You can't just be like reactive. I used to be quite reactive to everything. Whereas now I'm like, which is it? Good story, good time, good lesson. It's one of those.
Yeah, I'm going to take that with me now.
There you go.
I wouldn't be a reactive person anyway. Sometimes I think people are looking for something from me, but I wouldn't have.
Well, I get over emotion, not over emotional, but I get over, like, I think about it too much. I'd let it get to me too much. And then I'd be like, I'd overreact in the moment and then go, I just wish I hadn't bothered.
Yeah.
I just wish I'd just been centered and just go.
I'm quite soft. I think that's probably as much as people. I'm trying to not look at it as a weakness, but I'm a very soft person. I'm a very soft-hearted person. I'm quite an emotional. Like, I cry over ads on TV with old people and dogs and stuff like that. So other than that, I'm pretty good at holding my. It's not that I'm a robotic in any way, but I've just decided what is willing to give energy to and whatnot. And I'm sure there's plenty of things I probably should have gave more of a reaction to, maybe that people think I probably should have done, but
I think we talked about at the very start, it might have been the very start of our conversation this morning, was boundaries. They're so important.
I think we talked about it's only probably been the last three years. Again, I've only started my healing journey a year into the business, so that's 5 years ago. So like the last 4 years, but I would say the last 2 years now, like, I very much know where I stand. And everybody else knows where they stand. It's even with people, I never want, as Tupac says, like, I want everybody to eat, just not on my table. But at the end of the day, like, I never have anybody starve either. But,
I love that.
Yeah.
Everybody's been on my table. I really enjoy that. That's kind of cool. I've got a lot of quotes I'm going to take from you. Before we do our quick fire round, what's kind of the future? Obviously, you're moving to Miami. Like, talk to me through the next kind of like 12 to 18 months for you personally and the brand.
So Miami is in September. I'm going out there until March anyway. And then I'm coming home for the summer. I'm turning 40 next summer.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Big party up in Muff.
No, it's going to be away in a foreign country, but
good.
I'm a big believer in having celebrating life. I celebrate my birthday every year. I think everybody should.
We were in Cork this weekend. We were celebrating my wife's birthday.
Oh, nice! Yeah. I was up in Donegal, Derry. My best friend Jenny's turning 40, so we had a group together, and I swear it was one of the best nights I've had in so long. Do you know when you just like wake up next morning and like your belly's sore from laughing?
Yeah.
I said, God, I needed that so much.
And you're
getting set up for like having a night out. You're like, oh God, I'm too old. I'm too old to go out dancing. And then I woke up, I was like, what are you talking about? Going to Miami, launching into America with Bowls, which I'm very, very excited about. A little bit nervous as well. You know, we're into 20 states now from the 1st of November, remaining of the country next March. It's a huge order for a first order, where it's all great getting the first one, but like my focus is obviously getting my second and my third. So that, obviously my brand home is opening, it's built. So I mean, as I say, I'm getting my license on Wednesday. Got a message there just before we sat down saying my fire cert's been signed off, so I can open to the public on the 15th of August. Brilliant. Which will be amazing too. But again, like, I've got three new starters next Monday. I've got another two after that. My team's growing pretty dramatically, and which is great. But again, it's all new to me, and it's a challenge. So I'm just focusing and preparing myself for that. I don't know then in regards to the next year. America's obviously our main focus. With Bowls, obviously they're in 110 countries globally. We will look to expand into Asia. We were in Asia. We spent most of my first 18 months in Asia when we first launched the business. Like, that's where we were. We were in Hong Kong and Japan and Singapore and China. And sure, then COVID hit then, and sure, like, I've never heard from any of those people ever again. Don't even know if their companies still exist.
Wow.
So all that work that we had done just went down the Swanee. So starting, not necessarily starting from scratch again, but it does feel that a wee bit.
Mm.
But like, I feel much more confident knowing that, like, who we've got behind us. Like, I've got amazing backers, amazing investors. Like, couldn't have partnered up with a better company. And they believe in us as much as like I believe in us, which I think helps dramatically. We get on really well with the team. I've got an amazing team. So that's my focus for next year, is just taking in my 40s and the
serious new chapter.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
And I'm very excited.
That is exciting.
I really, really am. I'm
Plus,
really looking forward to
Miami.
It.
Could be worse places to be going, in fairness.
I'm looking forward to it. Like, they wanted me based in America for a couple of months. They wanted me in New York. And I said, guys, I said, I can't do a big city anymore. I'm happiest and I'm healthiest and I'm better barefoot by the beach under a tree. I was like, you'll get the best out of me that way. Otherwise, this won't work.
I love that. So you pushed back and you said, no, this is where I want to be.
Yeah, well, as they said to me, like, they're like, you're the boss. So, and the thing is, if I don't like Miami, I'll move as well.
Mm.
So I think...
States is incredible. Like, there's so many choices you can make.
For sure. But like, even with that, like, it's... If I could base myself in Dublin and fly over and back. It's not like I'm going to be... I'm in an office day to day. So I'm going to go out for a couple of months and see what necessity it is that we want. You never know, I could meet an American and fall in love and stay over there.
You never know.
My dad's worst nightmare, never coming home.
Yeah. Every bird's worst nightmare. But we talked about this briefly. The world's changed. Yeah. The world has changed. COVID was horrific, but it has changed the world, I believe, for the better. I think people like me and you see the positive. There you go. All right, you've got your mantra, right? It's true, though. It's probably in my brain. It's going to be subconsciously now. You'll hear me say this in the podcast the next 12 months.
Okay, I've done my job now.
So anyone not listening, Laura's got it on her left wrist.
Yeah, I got a tattoo for the better. And I got that from after COVID that I just was like, I can survive absolutely anything. But again, I feel that if relationships break down, you miss your flight, you know, deals don't happen, whatever you possibly think is the worst thing that's going on in your life, it's for the better. 100%. Even though it's really hard to sometimes see what the best could be, just choose to look at the positive, I suppose. Mm,
I like that. I have tattoos on my left and right arm, all of different meanings and different reasons. And they're very, very important to me. Quick fire round. I'm going to ask you a question at the end, what your formula for success is.
So
I'm trying to figure out your formula. What's Laura's formula for success? Something plus something equals success, or something minus something equals success. You can think about that at the back of your brain.
Thanks.
Quick fire round question is, what book would you recommend everyone should read?
Oh, The Magic, which is the sister book of Louise, or The Secret.
The Magic.
Yeah.
That's never
I
been
read
recommended.
That twice a year. I read it every January and I read it on the 1st of July of every year.
Nice, every 6 months. The Magic by Rhonda.
Yeah.
Perfect. What's something you had to learn the hard way?
Oh. Forgiveness, I think. Forgiving somebody that doesn't say sorry. I think that's pretty a hard lesson to learn.
Mm.
Is that all right? Would that be a right answer?
There is no right or wrong.
Or a wrong answer, there, yeah.
Come on, you've done the work. There's no right or wrong. Because I like these because they're all very personal. And I used to give them to people. And I found people were saying what they thought it should say.
Yeah, because so you have time to think about it. We're annoyed.
And people would overthink. And they'd deliberately then be like nervous. And they'd be like, oh, I have to give the right answer. I was like, there is no right answer. So I just stopped giving that to people. What have you sacrificed to achieve your success?
Oh, I have this thing, it's called choose your heart, where like with business, you've got to be prepared to choose your heart. Are you going to miss out on the once a lifetime pitch to come some country or miss your best friend's wedding? So I think self-sacrifice, like I find that being a successful entrepreneur is you've got to be extremely selfish, which is quite difficult to get your head around.
Mm.
But that's the biggest lesson I feel that I've learned anyway.
Mm, I like that. Selfish has a negative connotation, but I believe it's very important. You have to look after yourself.
Choose you number one. Like if you don't choose you number one, it doesn't matter.
Well, there is no number two and three because if you're not there, nothing else, everything else falls away.
But even in a relationship, I feel that you should become, your number one priority isn't that person, it should be yourself and they come second. As opposed to my partner, I would expect them to be their number one, I'm number two.
Yeah. But if you're not the best version of yourself, then you're robbing them of the best version. I think of this all the time for my daughter as well. I'm like, I work every day to be the best version of myself because then I'm the best version of myself for her, the best example I could possibly be for her.
Yeah.
You have to work on yourself. What would you do today if I give you 10 million euro?
Invest it back into my company.
I knew that was going to be the answer.
Huh?
I knew that was going to be the answer. You cracked the US with the 10 million?
Yeah.
What's something in your daily routine do you wish you started sooner?
Oh, meditation, grounding, practicing gratitude. I wish I'd done that. Like I'm banging this into my team now. I'm getting all my nieces and nephews. Like I send them to them all the time. I'm like, if I only started this in my 30s, if I could get them in the early age. I actually wrote a child's book, which has gone to the publishers now, and it's about affirmations. And
amazing.
I thought, you know, I only started doing my affirmations or in my mid-30s, whereas, like, can you imagine you get them at 3-4 years old? So start to the root. So, yeah, I wish I had started that early. And it's never too late. I think when I have a few friends now and they're like, oh, like, can't be at this here. I'm like, why not? You're 40. You know, take 2 years to go heal yourself. You could have another 50 years on this planet. You owe it to yourself.
The words I hate are, it's too late.
I know, it's never, never too late.
Never, ever. It's funny we're having this conversation today. There's so much overlap here. Yesterday I wrote down, are you stacking tiny wins or tiny losses?
Okay.
Every day. Because the power of compounding is just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so powerful. If I give you 1 million euro, you can invest it in one company or person. Can't be yourself. Who would that be?
Oh, Soulspace, Jerry and Miriam Hussey. I just love their work. I mean, my biggest conflict that I have is that I own an alcohol company, and then I started doing all this work on myself that I went through an awful lot of guilt, thinking, oh my God, am I part of the root of the problem? You know, where I feel that, I feel if I was to sell the company or when I make money, I will open wellness retreats. Like, if I could heal the world one person at a time, like, I would.
You stole my next question. I'm going to get you to answer it again.
Yeah, go on.
If you just start a new company in the morning, what would it be?
I'm going to do that. I'm going to have a wellness retreat somewhere. I just feel like I owe all the people and retreats and all the stuff that I've done, that I owe them my life. And if I can give back, I will definitely be giving back. I kind of feel a lot of people feel that they can't afford to heal, and they're the ones that probably need it the most. So I do it now. I've helped a lot of people, and I will continue to do so as long as I can.
I love that. I like that idea. I will be going to that retreat.
Good. October.
What do you believe other people would find strange or strongly disagree with?
Pardon?
What do you believe other people would find strange or strongly disagree with you on?
On me?
No, what are your beliefs that other people go, no, don't agree with that at all?
Probably the manifestation. I think a lot of people think that I'm like airy fairy, and there was people who are close to me were like, oh, here she goes again. But I believe, I don't hurt anyone. That's what I kind of always say. I'm not hurting anybody. This is what I do on my day-to-day basis and my full moon. And, you know, if, as I said to you, if I could be naked on a beach howling to the moon, I would, if I could do it on a monthly basis, I would.
When you're on your own wellness retreat, you can do whatever you want.
Do what I want.
Naked Tuesdays.
But, you know, fine. I think, like, it's not for everybody, but I do the belief in the manifestation. I think people try and argue with me all the time. I'm like, listen, it's my belief. I'm not asking you to do it. If you don't want to do it, then that's fine.
You do.
You do.
I always reframe it for people. Go, you know, the best sports people in the world all visualize. They all have a coach.
Mm.
Same thing.
All and they're like,
oh. Yeah, they're like, oh yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Just a different version. And exactly, you do you. What do you spend money on in your personal life that brings you immense happiness or joy?
It's massages and wellness retreats and ayahuasca and plant medicine and all the things. Like, they, for me, I just love spending time with my family. Like, if my nieces and nephews are near enough the same age as me, so they've all got kids now. We've got 4, 5 and another one on the way, under 5, and I mean, they bring me nothing but joy.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I love spending time with them. Which obviously costs nothing, but yeah, I'm like, and my happiness is like, I love being in forests, I love being in trees, like, I love sitting under a tree, I love being at a beach. So if I could buy a little house in a forest or near the water, and that's what I will be doing. I'll go ghost one day. You'll be like, God, oh, remember that girl that, yeah, she's disappeared off absolutely everywhere. No one, you have to send me smoke signals to get to
sold it for 100 million, never heard from her again.
Never again. She's on a private island somewhere.
How nice. What's your final piece of advice for every entrepreneur listening?
Oh, my thing is, I just invest in yourself, I think is it. And I think it's just so important to do it. I feel, to prepare yourself to choose your hard, you've got to have a belief and passion. Like, honestly, if you don't have it, like, you need to recenter your thoughts. And like I always say, like fail stands for first attempt in learning. Like, you know, just because you that fails doesn't mean that you failed forever. It's just a lesson in life, and you know, get up next day and move on.
If you were going to put together like a formula, so I'm obsessed with experiments and formulas. If you're going to put together like Laura's success formula, what do you think would be in there? Like what words would
passion,
be in there?
Belief, determination, strength.
So passion plus belief plus determination.
Equals clarity.
Plus strength equals clarity. Love that. Laura, that was one of the most fun, enlightening, inspirational chats we've had on the podcast in nearly 5 years.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. That was absolutely brilliant.
You made it easy.
Good. Thank you. What, where even can people learn more about Mufflicker Company?
Obviously on our website, www.themufflickercompany.com. We're on Instagram. We're on LinkedIn. We've got these brand new bottles, which are going to be available in September. So these are custom made bottles. So they haven't arrived yet, but come September, we're going to be available through Drinks Genius and Drinks Inc., which are both our distributors for the island of Ireland.
Okay.
We're in Tesco and Dunn stores and Super Value. So yeah, please pick up a bottle, support the cause.
Do it and tag the Entrepreneur Experiment when you do.
Yes.
Laura, thank you so much. Pleasure. That was incredible.
Thank you so much.